Ownership is all about building on your own success with your own self-discovery. Your life is your business. Take ownership of it. Together, let's unlock the next level of your life. Ownership is here to help lead you without all the noise and distractions. There are hot topics and lessons in life to keep you entertained, gain value, and even some enlightenment all along the way. Ownership is brought to you by Allison Andrews Cantor, a certified coach and business leader with over 20 years of experience under her belt. A battle-born and proven successful entrepreneur, she is on a mission to help individuals take back ownership of their personal life. So are you ready? Let's go. Here she is, your host, Allison Andrews Cantor.
All right. I can't believe it. We're back with episode 20. This is the in of ownership. Again, it's an initialism. This kind of run we're doing of our podcast right now is all our interview series. So if you listen to the first two before this, we, you know, had our interview on optimism, the W of ownership, and now we're on the in, which is nurturing. And this is one of my favorites because it's so important. And when we think of nurturing, we usually think of nurturing something else outside of ourselves.
And the reason, why it's in ownership is because we need to remember to nurture ourselves.
But again, we're doing a little different platform than normal. Producer Jay and me are on Zoom recording today because of our interview series. Producer Jay, how are you liking this? You loving it?
It's definitely one of my top favorites. No, for what we're normally used to doing, it is a little bit different because even though you're sitting right in front of me, I'm looking straight at the camera because we want to make sure everybody sees what's going on. But it is something, but we're glad to have
it's to be very French with it. She's our Parisian. We need to bring it here. We can't be typical Americans. Act like we got some sophistication in class. Come on.
My sophistication class is there, but it's just, I'm not as cultured as most people should be.
That's why you're my co-host. It keeps it, you know, you're the average Joe. Everyone loves that.
I am the average Joe.
No, you're extra special. You're extra special. Very extra special. Anyways, so we're in studio, even though we're on Zoom. And like he said, our guest today is Jamin Savada, and she is a licensed and certified professional midwife. She was also my midwife for my three babies, my home births, and my best friend, Chelsea. She got to be my case study because I was technically pregnant before her, but my babies came after her. So she took my playbook with Jamin and San Diego Midwife, and I got to see how it all went down as a preview before I got to work with Jamin in full capacity with my three babies. But what's neat, as you heard us say, is she was born and raised in Paris, France. She studied not only in France, but in Tokyo, Japan. She was working in a very, very busy city hospital in Paris, working in the OB department after seeing breech births, delivering twins, vaginal births, after C-section, VBAC. She's seen it all in a very, very metropolitan, busy hospital. Then she came, thank God, to us in the United States and came to San Diego in 2003. And that's when she started San Diego Midwife and has been providing nurturing, literally, services to mothers and babies and fathers and families all over our county, especially in North County. That's kind of her bubble. Bringing forth these beautiful lives and souls. And I couldn't think of anyone more appropriate than a midwife to interview for nurturing. Jay, what is your expertise or knowledge as our male counterpart here when we talk about midwifery?
Zero.
Oh, this will be great then.
My son was born in a hospital. I've heard of having home births and a midwife or a doula. Okay. See, again, I'm learning here. But I personally have never experienced it because my son was born in a hospital. I was born in a hospital. My brothers were born in a hospital. So So yeah.
That's kind of the default that we've been told and prescribed in America, especially, maybe not in other countries. But Junin, tell me, when I reached out to you and I said, would you please be the in, which is nurturing in ownership, what did you think?
When you call me, I mean, moms call me all the time, you know, inquiring about birth. And you did the same. You called and you probably found our website, or sometimes it's word to mouth. And you call, and we always do a really good interview first, because that's also important. I think moms forget that you are interviewing us, but we are also interviewing you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's true. And, you know, usually moms come in with all their questions. Maybe they've done some research. But I also have moms that call me and they're like, I just don't know. And I also, it's not all about home birth. It's all about like education and getting them ready. And so when you call me, you had some good question. You had already done a lot of research. So it was having that connection. I always tell families, it's because they, you know, they'll tell me like, I interview many different midwives and how will I know? And I'm like, you'll know, you're going to get this connection and you'll know, am I going to trust this person in a very vulnerable moment? Will I feel heard and, you know, cared for throughout my pregnancy? And then you'll know, it's going to be, you know, you call it the gut feeling, but it's like that little feeling in your heart. You're like, okay, this is the right person. And I think you and me had a connection very quickly. I also loved it because you lived really close to my house.
I walked over to your house a couple times.
I know.
To have you do the Doppler on my belly.
And so usually there's like a process. I think sometimes moms are not used to that because they just like set up an appointment with a doctor and they just show up. But even before you start care, there is a process where we talk on the phone, then there's an interview, and then you already have this connection. And by the time we start the first visit, you already feel like, okay, we're already pretty close.
Yeah. So when I think of nurturing and I think of you, and when some of our listeners are listening to this, they're going to think all the nurturing and care that you're doing is for this baby, but it's really not. It's really not. It's for the mother. You are there to truly nurture and be that supportive partner. Like you said, in the most vulnerable part of a woman's history, truthfully, there is nothing more raw, vulnerable, intimate than birth.
No, it's true. Especially when you choose the route where, okay, I'm going to try and do this without any medication, no drugs, then you're really going to have to let go and surrender and trust. And there's like, I always say it's therapy condensed in like 10 years of therapy versus pregnancy and labor. But so whoever's in that room with you, if you really trust and feel loved by this person, then you can let go and just go with it. And yes, there are moments that are scary, but if you have your team there and your midwife that can remind you and help you push past that fear, then it makes such a big difference.
I mean, this is such powerful work you're doing. I mean, what you just said there, that can apply to life. That's not even just birth. If you are surrounded by people you feel safe and nurtured and loved by and supported by, they will help push you through fear, struggles, and embrace you in the time you need to do the biggest work of your life, whether that's birthing this soul from within out to earthside, or your own personal journey of where you're at in that roadmap of life. I mean, besides birth, would you say in the experiences with these families and with these mothers, you by default are helping them birth into their best version of maybe themselves through the process of birthing this child?
No, it's incredible to see the change. And, you know, we get moms from like 20, like 19 to like 45. And so it's every like different stages of women's lives. And so you'll get the young moms that come in, have no question. They think that's so easy. And then you'll see that empowerment, that maturity. And also I think the biggest one is when you decide to do the natural route, every decision we have to talk about. It's actually a lot of work because people always ask me like, who does natural birth and home birth? I'm like, no, they're moms that are willing to educate themselves, have a conversation and not just follow like, oh, these are the protocols. This is what the doctor said and this is what I'm going to do. It's like, no, why am I doing this? And I always say it's almost like preparing for parenting because parenting, you're not going to do what the neighbors are doing. No, what feels right for my body, my baby, my family in this moment. And so willing to dive into that throughout the pregnancy, I think makes a big difference. So the transformation is huge. I always adore it. And the dad's transformation is also huge because they, you know, they show up at the prenatal care, they do a childbirth class. Then during labor, they're the doulas. I always tell the dads, you know your partner the most. And so you will know when something needs to change or her voice or, and so I love that relationship also with the partners.
Have you, this is completely natural birth, there's no epidural, there's no drugs whatsoever. Have you ever had a mom say, forget this, mid birth, like, give me the stuff right now?
So to tell you the truth, of course, it's just like when I used to work in the hospital, it's like, give me a C-section. So of course, there's always going to be that moment where you just want to just explode. And so you're going to ask something that's not possible at the house or at the hospital, because I always remember at the hospital, women would like, just cut me. It's like, no, baby's right here. It's usually when baby's almost coming out, there's that moment where you're so done. But for sure, it does happen. And especially with first-time moms where labor, I'm sure, Jay, you've heard of this, but first-time moms' labors can be really long. And so, yes, sometimes at home, we'll all make a decision. It's not an emergency, but together we're like, you're so exhausted. Things are not progressing. It's called failure to progress exhaustion, where we make a very gentle, slow decision where actually in that case, the epidural will be amazing. And that's why I always say epidurals are not the enemy. Once in a while, they're amazing. They can just help a mom sleep, relax, and then open up and then have a baby. So yes, it does happen. But if not, that moment of screaming, yes, that will happen. And it's usually like, baby's here. And it's like, you can check and then everybody, okay, I can do it. And then you just push those boundaries again and you do it. Yeah.
But that's why it's so important to have someone so nurturing like you in that relationship, because as human nature, even in life, not just birth, yes, there's going to be times where we want to pull rip cords. We don't want to feel these emotions. Yes. We don't like where we're at. It is really uncomfortable and hard, but we can do hard things. Mm-hmm. And if we're in the right environment where we're told, no, you're safe, you're calm, you don't mm-hmm. get to pull a rip cord. You're going to push through this and you got yes. it. You get over the hump and you feel so much more empowered, strong, whole, and healthy because you did it. And yes. you did something you even thought yourself you couldn't do. And that is the ultimate mic drop. But if you're in a situation, whether this be friends, influences, or in a hospital, mm-hmm. and you want to pull one of those rip cords and you can easily get it, you didn't actually do the work. You didn't actually have that healing experience that those really uncomfortable times can give you.
That's true.
You know, I know for myself, like my first baby, Jamin almost didn't make it. Bentley was surfing out. She was fast. And all of mine were very fast, actually. But yeah, there's that time, Jay, where if Jamin would have been like, hey, Allison, I got something here that's going to make you feel euphoric and blissed out and take away all this pain, I would have pulled that rip card in a heartbeat. Yes. But that's one of the best reasons of having the home birth, is that's not an option. Yes. So it doesn't matter how you want to just say, uncle, 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 it's not, yes. you got to work. You got to do the work. And that's the best part. Men
don't have babies.
Oh no, you guys can handle it.
No, I'm a big baby when I'm sick. So you try to imagine giving childbirth, not a chance. Not a chance. Some guys are like, I mean, I've seen the guys that have put the pregnancy bellies on and stuff like that, but I'm like, yeah, how you women do it, it's amazing, it's a wonderful gift, but yeah, nope, I'm out.
You know, Allison, I was thinking also, you know how you're thinking, it's like the mom, nurturing the mom, but there's another thing during labor where if the mom is not taking any drugs, she's so connected to her baby. Because you feel baby descending, you feel baby moving, you feel like, oh, when I do this position, oh, baby's coming. And so I always remind moms, like, you're doing this. Baby's hearing your sounds, your hard work. Think about coming into this world with like feeling this powerful mom working with you. So that's also,
I just got goosebumps and I'm gonna cry because I can't help it. Like when you said that, I was just thinking about Belle. Yes. And do you remember when I was in between contractions, I would lay down and I would like fall asleep?
Yes.
It's only like for like 30 seconds, but I mean, I would go to deep meditation, calm, peace. And then it was like thrown like a bullet train again. But I was able to find that like calm rhythm. But she was that way too. Like yes. We both would, that was her, you know, not me. We both, yes. I was following her rhythm. Yes. And that's her. It's very yes. calm and it's very strong. And it's yes. very calm and it's yes. very strong. And yes. I wouldn't have gotten that. That's not my natural rhythm. That was yes. her leading and us doing the work together. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. And yeah, it's if incredible. I was desensitized, that would have been such a loss because you're already so tethered to this soul and you already kind of know their personality just by being in tune with them. It's incredible.
Yeah. No, it is. I think it's like when moms are so in tune and they know this position is not working and I'm going to try this. And they just know they're connected to their babies.
Oh yeah. Like remember with Bradford, I pulled out Chelsea's water bath that she didn't use, right? Remember? Yes. And we filled it up. We did the whole thing. I think I got in it for one contraction and I was like, get me the heck out of here. This is awful. I had to be grounded. The water and the buoyancy was not for me. For some, it's blissful. For me, it was like, give me the earth. Let me squat. Let me get down.
That's I know, because I'm the same way. I'm such a water person. Like, same. I just always craving, like, I need to dive into water. But during labor, same thing. Just, I need to be, like, squatting, grounding, earth, gravity. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
It's true. Yeah.
So one of the things I love about midwifery in general and your role in this process is it's not just the nurturing of the mother on her journey to motherhood way before even like the prenatal standard appointments you do. Like you said, having those conversations, yes. them interviewing you, you interviewing them, cultivating that relationship before you even have that first in office, let's check on baby, right?
Yes.
It's even the aftercare. And that to me is where midwifery is on fire because that is the most, almost the most, I think more important work because when baby's inside you, it's safe. It's totally safe. You just feed, stay hydrated, rest,
exercise.
Safe. Yeah. Exercise, keep fit, keep your heartbeat up for running the marathon. You got to stay physically fit. But now Earthside, you're in postpartum and you have this little baby that's depending on you for survival. 100%. I think that's when nurturing is like next level.
Yes. Yes. No, it's true. And, you know, our moms that do home birth, you know, for us, it's all about staying that golden hour. Like baby is on their chest the whole time. Maybe for like 5 minutes, we take baby right next to mom to just do all the measurements, but it's very fast. And it's quickly baby on mom's chest. And then we really want moms the first 3-4 days to be in bed with baby and work on resting and being nurtured. And we talk a lot about it even before the birth. Like you're totally right. For me, postpartum is so important. And so who's going to be helping? Who's going to help with the siblings? Who's going to be cooking? And so for the moms to let go of all of that control in their house, let it go, surrender, and just be present with baby. Plus they change every hour. And
it's true. They grow so fast in that first week, it's wild.
You just want to stare, but you need to rest. And the process is really 6 to 8 weeks postpartum. We call it the 6 weeks postpartum. For some families, it's longer. So that's just 3 months, 6 months. It is a long process and to not feel alone. And, you know, we always recommend try and find a mommy group afterwards also just to feel like loved and nurtured by other women that are going through the same thing, because you can also feel really lonely.
Oh yeah.
And it is postpartum is huge.
I mean,
I think I don't mean to interject, but I think the biggest thing for me was that I did, when you said holding the baby, you know, skin to skin afterwards, I didn't have that. Again, they took him, did his measurements, brought him back to my ex-wife, and then, you know, did that with him. I'm like, I didn't have that. But when they did take him to go get his first bath, I went with him, and I've got a beautiful photo of his little hand just wrapped around my finger. Aww. But I was like, I was there the entire time. But afterwards, when we went home, with that, a majority of the time, whenever I held him, I was doing that skin to skin. But I felt bummed that I didn't get that opportunity right after he was born. So I see a lot of dads when you post on social media nowadays, or they give to mom and then they give to yes. dad. And I'm like, oh, yes. I didn't get that part. Well, but you know, I understand how important in nurturing that is. But I think my nurturing moment was with his little hand right around my finger, knowing dad, okay, he's right here. You're good to go. So yeah.
Yeah. I hear, yeah. Hearing your voice at home. So yeah, the baby goes right on mom's chest. But at one point after the mom's eaten something, we try to get her up to go to the bathroom. And that's usually like dad's moment. So we're going to take care of mom. So we're like, hey, take your shirt off. And dads are like, what? Yeah, take your shirt off. And then skin to skin. And then, yeah, dads will be beaming of happiness and joy. And it's cute because babies are like, where's the nipple? They're like trying to get some milk. It's always so sweet. I know.
It's such a beautiful space to be in. It's such a sacred space. And, you know, when it comes to nurturing, I never nurtured myself. I would nurture everyone. And going through home birth particularly really opened up my self-care and prioritizing my self-care and knowing what that feels like. And when it's done right, like with the excuse for people that are overachievers, driven, always moving, birth and being pregnant is an incredible disruptor.
Yes.
That doesn't work. That energy doesn't work. You can't even tap into it. So learning to surrender, learning to ask for help, learning to stay in bed when other people are doing things in your house and maybe not doing it the way you would want to do it. But you know what? You're so appreciative somebody's making you food and bringing it to in bed so you can just, you know, stare at this new life that just came from you. And that's all you have to do. That's your job. Mm-hmm. And just being in that space and accepting that and accepting being nurtured is such a great disruptor, because once you've gone through that, and I've been very fortunate to do it three times, I know now the value of my sleep. Mm-hmm. I know the value of my rest. I know when I need to just go put my feet up and snuggle in my bed with my kids and turn on a movie and just be in that space and tap into it. My kids don't know what's going on. They think we're just doing a movie in bed. I'm tapping in back into that space energetically. Yes. And it's really powerful.
No, it's true. No, you learn so much. It's like, what an incredible journey. I always say, even the first trimester, I just saw a mom, she's like 9 weeks and she's like, it's hitting her hard. And she has like this, you know, huge career and suddenly she can't do anything. You know, remember that first trimester, you don't eat anything. You don't even want to kiss your partner. Everything just like, it's like just everything's so intense. Uh-huh. And it's like, okay, surrender, let go. You will get better. But it starts right away. Actually, in the first trimester already, you're like, okay, I have to slow down.
Do you think that when it comes to nurturing, I always talk about holding space in the podcast and in the book too. Do you think nurturing comes with surrender? They both go together.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Letting go. And I think more than ever, like our culture now, we want to control everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, and now we're so connected to our phones and everything. I think there's just that quiet time. And so pregnancy, it almost forces you.
Oh, it absolutely
it disrupted my whole way of operating in the best way possible. It grounded me. It taught me really good self-care, what's real self-care looks like, because now your care is direct care to this baby that you're growing inside of you. You know, you can't take a shortcut on that. And then afterwards, realizing that if I don't take care of myself, these three tiny humans aren't going to be taken care of. Yeah. So nurturing myself is almost the highest priority. Mm-hmm. And that's coming from years of being told not to nurture myself, not to care for myself, to make sure everyone else in my environment, my job, my animals, blah, 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 they are taken care of. Then whatever's left over, which is usually negative, that's what I get. Yes. And this 100% flipped it.
Mm.
You know, what a
gift. And Allison, and now by taking care of yourself, you're teaching your children. They're watching you.
Yeah.
Take care of, take moments. Say, hey, this is my hour right now, or I need to go and exercise, or I'm going to go meditate, or I'm going to do. They're watching you.
It's
and
awesome.
So you're they giving them that gift.
Yeah. That is a gift. You're right. That's talk about, you know, breaking cycles, being a disruptor of bad, unhealthy cycles we all have in our families.
Yes.
Actions over words are everything. And they can visually see. I mean, they know in our house we have meditation mats and they know rest. Rest is really big. That's what we call in our house. It's rest is huge. We always
we still call it nap time. My daughter, who's going to be like 13 at the end of the year, she's like, is it nap time? Because she looks forward to like this break.
I would love that. All my kids have this aversion to the word nap. I don't know why. It's like discipline. So rest. And for some reason, rest is palatable to them. They embrace the word rest.
My daughter still loves nap time. I said, good.
Oh, I love it. That's great. Oh, Jamin, I could talk to you forever. And if you guys have picked up the ownership book, you know, I talk about her a lot in it because that book is a quick time capsule of a specific period in my life when I was birthing these babies with her support. And I leaned on her for nurturing far more than just her normal maternity and postpartum care. She was nurturing my soul at that time because it was a very, very trying time. I mean, I don't know. I should say this real quick before we wrap up this podcast, because it's very powerful. And I said in the book, but your nurturing for me went far beyond your designated authority. You were the one that drove me following the ambulance with Bradford in it. And I was losing my mind because to take a child away from a mother, and again, you have to remember my context is I'm used to having my babies in my house. Nobody's taken this baby away from me. Mm-hmm. This baby doesn't move from me unless I willingly hand over so I can take a shower. Other than that, the baby was never removed from me. So having him be in an ambulance without me going with him was like the worst thing I had ever experienced in motherhood at that point. And you were the one to shepherd me through that really intense moment. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So much nurturing. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It runs deep. I adore this woman, you guys. If you're listening to this and you're in the North County area of San Diego, you better get on the docket. So if you do get pregnant, you can have her nurturing and care. I can't endorse it enough. But
thank you.
Oh my gosh. To say more about self-care and the mind, body, and soul, when I think of this episode and obviously our very special guest, Jamin, we also have a really incredible show sponsor. And this one is Lathered in Love Soapery. And it was actually started by my kids, one of their babysitters. And this was her passion project because she's a nurturer. And now she's making this multifaceted self-care line that is beautiful. And it's meant to spirit lifting products to promote the idea of nurturing yourself. Everything is non-toxic, cruelty-free, formaldehyde-free, just incredible, not tested on animals, locally made, eco, organic. You have to check her out. Lathered in Love Soapery on Instagram, latheredinlove.com. Incredible products. If you have a moment and you want to do a little something to nurture yourself in the skin and the body you're in, she's got the products for you. But oh, Jamin, thank you so much for being an episode 20 in nurturing. Jay, what do you think?
You know, we could have talked hours about this because for me, from a male perspective, I was like, you know, what would you say to a prospective, you know, woman who's on the fence about, you know, getting a doula or having a home birth. So yeah, well, we could have talked about this for
well, now she has to answer that because there's going to be a listener that's like, oh, I'd really like to have a home birth, but I'm scared and I'm told the hospital and my whole family and everyone's telling me hospital. What do you say, Jamin?
Well, first of all, it's your journey. And also, you know, I tell that to first time moms all the time that it's not really about home birth. It's about midwifery care. And so even when you're talking to your friends and your family, it's more, I'm going to hire a midwife because I'm going to labor at home as long as I can. And maybe I'll do a home birth. Maybe I'll go to the hospital. And when you open it like that, then it's not all this like pressure. And it's more, I'm choosing midwifery. I want to be able to, throughout my pregnancy, have somebody that I can talk to and call and not wait 3 days for an answer and just feel, you know, close. And like I said, remember, Jay, even if a mom goes to the hospital, then we go with her. So whatever your journey is, we're going to be by your side. actually in the hospital, you need us more than ever because suddenly it's like a whole new story and you need your advocates.
This is true. Mm-hmm. We can't have enough people on our team, especially quality people that we've chosen to be part of that team in our life.
It's true.
Oh, thank you so much. Again, San Diego Midwife.
Yeah.
They're on Instagram. Great resource, great education, really inspiring, beautiful images of family and new life. Even if you're not in the space of having babies like myself, that chapter's closed. I still love following their posts and being inspired by these families that are bringing forth the new generation and this new life on our planet. And it's just beautiful. So until you hear from us again in the next 2 weeks, what is one thing you can do to take ownership over your life?
If you liked today's episode, be sure to subscribe, share, and like. Don't forget to join our community by connecting with ownership at take-ownership.com. You can buy the book, become a show supporter, join our monthly Soul Boardroom, and engage in free strategy coaching sessions with Allison. You can find all of this and more at take-ownership.com.